So, hello everyone. This talk is service layering integrating Samba with existing DNS infrastructure. And you may wonder who the hell is standing in front of you. I am Peter Hollands, not Peter, as was written on the printout. Obviously, Peter is the Dutch version of Peter. I'm a developer, mainly developing in Python and C. I'm located in Frankfurt, Germany. But I also have a history that extends into the admin area. I did 3 years of IT support. And, back in the times when Windows 95 screensavers used to slow down the hardware they just bought. I was a senior intern at SUSE Consulting, actually, for 9 years, which is quite some time. And I was a Linux systems engineer at the German Air Traffic Control. That's the guys making sure that your flight's arriving safely. Where I did automated installations of file availability systems, some hardware standardization and stuff. But most of all, I've been freelancing since over 15 years. The key takeaway is I can't really decide if I'm a developer or an administrator. But that's how life goes. As far as Samba is concerned, I love Samba and I hate Samba, which maybe describes it for you as quite as well. It is lovely if it works, and it's a nightmare to debug. I've been using SUSE Linux since 5.0. That means I've also been using Samba since 2.5. I am not a Samba developer. This is sort of a disclaimer I put in place in the event that any Samba developers should mistakenly listen to this talk instead of the other technical talk. So this is a user talk. I supported small companies with Windows clients and NT4 domain with a single PDC, some shares, NetLock and Squiz printer drivers, Open LDAP, and the RFC 2307 BIS fund. That's the POSIX groups versus the other thing fund. Unfortunately, we never went Samba AD because these customers actually went the Windows Outlook route. So that's a bit the background. Just one more thing about the Samba community and me. One thing I always like, well, the reason why I'm actually here for the fifth time, I think, is that I always liked the cross-platform approach of Samba. So it's not just Linux, but it's also Linux and potentially other operating systems such as Windows. Even though this is not exactly sexy among puristic Linux beers, but so be it. I'm not a steady member of any particular programming community, Samba or IMAPD or whatever, because I keep losing interest every other while, and then eventually anything I begin doesn't get finished. And also there's profane requirements such as actually being able to make money out of it, which, yeah. I had long been eyeing with Samba XP, but actually only been here since 2014. And as you can see here, I'm also on Twitter. I only just removed the line, I'm the Twitter whore of the Samba XP here, but it's actually sort of the truth. I try to extend the things we talk about and the things I learn here into the Twitterverse, also to raise awareness for Samba as a product. Especially last year, but also the years before, I've been uttering criticism a bit, well, not criticism, but I made the observation that we have a lot of dev topics, but really a lack of user talks. So if you're just an ordinary Samba user and you're not, like Volker, really an expert in Samba structures to the line level, it is sometimes a bit hard to follow. So this year, I actually got motivated to change that and not only complain and bitch, but also to do a talk. So that's it. This just is background for the upcoming talk. Who of you knows what Soho is? Oh, at least two. Well, it could be this, right? But actually, what I mean is small office, home office, which is a term we heard more about, I don't know, a long time ago, so it's quite a well-aged term. I don't see that term very often anymore. And we used that to describe the freelancer's office at home or small companies with 1 to 10 people, which usually had a typical evolution from single PC to multiple PCs, and maybe they got a server or a NAS device, and by now maybe they're using cloud services. I put a question mark to that because in Germany, differentiate on that topic. But the thing is, in a small office, home office environment, which is obviously what I am also in, being a freelancer, and my customers mostly were, the thing is, we have no IT department. We don't even have a full-time administrator. And we have restrictions on time and budget, which lead to the inevitable consequence of backups often being neglected, and any thought about redundancy being unrealistic. Because, as a general observation, the consideration also expressively uttered by my customers was that the cost of failure is just less than the cost of mitigation against such failures. However, I agree to disagree. Because we got networks for the central device, which makes actually the topic of data backup rather easy. We got improved reliability, because instead of the one PC I'm working with at home, I have a PC and I have a router, and maybe I have a printer with an actually quite intelligent print server, so with spread out functionality across devices. And the thing is, after the very popular Linksys WRT for 5G, yes, we've seen an increase in flash-based low-voltage devices. So flash means I don't have a hard disk anymore, which could fail, and low voltage means I just have, some Taiwanese power supply that eventually is also going to fail, but it's not a full power supply as with a PC anymore, with a fan that could fail. Meaning, mechanical failures, at least in my experience, have been reduced very much in the server market, of course, right? Which unfortunately also means that people tend to neglect data backups again. But whatever. We've also seen a price drop for manageable switches and UPSs. If this sounds very, very obscure, I actually run at home with an UPS simply because a customer of mine had a spare one, so I just used it. And I tried to, we'll see that. So the thing is, in my opinion, affordable reliability is a topic, even if you're just at home and a freelancer, even if you're alone or just a small office. So the thing is, if this world is no longer so trivial or so easy and so bound to fail, I like to apply some thoughts that otherwise we would probably previously only have applied in large enterprises or mid-sized enterprises, whatever. And that is, I like to model and I like to distinguish between services of different qualities. On the one hand, we have what I call the basic network services, which are necessary utilities. And we have productive services that actually provide customer value. In this case, customer could be myself, of course. So, and the rule of thumb for drawing the line is basic network services should be independent. They should not depend on any productive service. And on the other hand, the productive services should not interfere with them. Too long didn't read. If everything above crashes, I still want to be able to serve the web for troubleshooting purposes. So nothing special. Basically, I guess we all have a setup like this at home, because your router is a flash-based router still continuing to work. Even if your main PC fails, you can take a smartphone and Google something or whatever. What this means is, and one more thing. In this SOHO world, if I say basic network services, I mean, of course, in the first case, routing, DNS, and DHCP, because I don't want static host assignment. But in my SOHO world, the requirements are rather easy. So I confess I'm not DNSSEC signing my domain at home or anything like that. And I don't need really a full-blown ISC bind server or anything like that. So the thing is, I use what I can run on my flash-based router, which is, in this case, DNS Mask by Simon Kelly from the UK. And this gives us this nice model. It's a bit old, the graphic, which is why the color in the following slide is different, where I made it new. It doesn't really matter whether the print services are located, servers are located above the switches and the routers go from here to here. That's just details. The thing is, everything at the bottom should run at a higher reliability, or must run at a higher reliability than the productive services above. Because the things above can crash because I run them on an ordinary server, for example, email server, file server, print service. But I want to maintain that everything below is working. That's my philosophy. That is the background for why I actually made some thoughts about Samba.
Sorry, but
yes, the thing is, the print service does spooling, for example. And the print server is just the low-level piece of hardware, which maybe just does JetDirect protocol and has no queuing, because it doesn't have storage. But this is just an example, right? So where would we place Samba? If I run an NT4-style domain controller, things are rather easy. I mean, it's just like starting three daemons, and we're done. And now I have to try if this laser pointer is working. Ah, nice. It's good that there are not so many Samba devs here, because otherwise they would probably tear me apart for this graphic. But that's why I wrote a disclaimer below, naive users view. So don't take this for granted. The thing is, it's just some protocols, and then there's basically SMB on top, or SIFS, or whatever you'd like to call it these days. The thing is, in an NT4-style domain, I can just run this on an ordinary server, for example, and there's no connections between these two. Yeah, because I didn't yet have the dependency on DNS and special requirements for DNS. So if this crashes, well, I still have this. And everything keeps working. This changes, of course. Now we do have Active Directory. I get three additional services. Maybe more than three, but from my point of view, the most three important ones are Kerberos, LDAP, and DNS. And these not only make my, I hope you can read it in the back, but these not only make my diagram a bit bigger, but they, in the first place, add some interdependencies and peculiarities of their own, which you probably might know are the special requirements for DNS service, because we're talking DNS now. Dynamic DNS updates and the special records Active Directory uses to locate services, such as the domain controller. As I said, I was looking at embedded Linux devices for my basic network services, and DNS is a basic network service in my philosophy. Kai Blin over here already did the work and looked at DNS mask, and actually had a conversation. I'm not sure how much time you invested, but eventually we can say I think it was a dead end. Yeah, as things happen. We could, of course, create the required SRV, A, and C name records manually. And there's a guy who did that. That's the second link. But that's a bit too hackish, in my opinion, and most of all unsupported by the Samba team. So it's a bad base to open a bug report on. And then I still have no dynamic DNS updates, right? So this is a problem. I can't just satisfy Active Directory's DNS requirements with DNS mask. So with DNS mask out of the game, two options, which are also described quite well on the Samba wiki. There is a Samba internal DNS server written by yours truly, Kai Blin, and Metze. when I first heard about this, it was like, what the hell are they writing there only an S server for? And I actually had to read the motivations, of course. It's not like you do that every day. But we just saw why they did it. And we heard why they did it. December internally an S server is mostly intended for smaller setups. And it also only has limited functionality. For example, there's no caching, no recursive queries, there's no domain transfers, and other fancy things DNS servers tend to implement. Therefore, it fulfills the requirements of Samba's AD perfectly because it's part of Samba. The alternative, actually, there was a second alternative, a third alternative, the bind9 flat file backend, but it's deprecated, so I'm not going to talk about it. There is a DLZ DNS backend, so you can use your existing bind9 and add this backend to it, but that's sort of a complex configuration and more something for larger setups, also due to the memory requirements of bind. Sorry? But it doesn't matter which of two options. The problem is they still don't run on an embedded Linux very well, at least not on my OpenWRT device. If nowadays, of course, you take from the cz.nic, the Czech guys, this OmniTourist root router with 128 megabytes RAM and add something fancy in it, that's a different question, but that's not the kind of hardware I have at home, which is still rather weak and doesn't have much memory. So what could we do? We could use this, and I guess every one of you knows this because it's sleeping in a drawer under your desk somewhere where you intended to do a project with it but never finished it. So this is obviously a Raspberry Pi, and you could use everything else, which is similar, an Odroid, whatever. The thing is, sorry? Yeah, but in a cluster, right? Okay. The thing is, SD cards are not really reliable. And I know there are also add-ons to the Raspberry Pi where you can add an SSD on top of them, but then booting was really an issue until I think the Raspberry Pi 3 or whatever. Still, it would be an extra device, and I do have these routers and access points at home. So I'd either use these or I'd use real hardware, you know, like conventional x86 hardware. So, to summarize the problem we're facing, and another point, we could have said, okay, let's just use Samba. Samba does have the DNS server, it fulfills the AD requirements, why don't we just use this one? Because maybe caching is not so important, domain transfers are not so much of a problem in a Soho setup, but the thing is, I set up a model, and of course I want to defend this model, and I want to uphold this model. And if I now say, okay, I'm just going to use the Samba DNS server, I'm actually violating my model's assumption, because then Samba's DNS and Samba is a productive service in my model, and now Samba DNS is providing something which I say is a basic network function. So that's then I could just throw away my model and just not distinguish at all. And for the reasons I explained, I want to maintain this model. And if Samba is down, all DNS is down. And there's another issue, but we'll see that in a minute. So summarized, this is a dead end. It doesn't matter which direction we are going. Trying to implement the AD functions with DNS mask is a dead end. And the other way around, running the Samba DNS is also a dead end because then my model is no longer true. Okay, so we cannot just run the one or the other. Then the obvious answer is running both at the same time. And we have multiple options in this case. I could, for example, say, okay, the nav one is, I let my clients talk to Samba, and Samba forwards to DNS mask, which is, of course, let's say outright stupid, because it doesn't solve my isolation problem. It's again, when Samba is down, everything is down. We could also say, hey, okay, primary DNS and secondary DNS. And then I say primary DNS is Samba, because In most of the cases, most requests should go to Samba, so AD is working, and forwarding goes to DNS mask if there's a request for some internet page. And secondary DNS is DNS mask. So if Samba is down, I'll at least have DNS mask. But in this scenario, I still have the problem, if Samba is down, eventually I will have internet, but I will have to cope with timeouts, because who knows when my client and when we resolve a configuration is switching to this secondary DNS. And you get inconsistent client behavior, because, for example, if it is a Microsoft client, I'm not sure how Windows 10 is behaving if at first the Samba DNS is available and suddenly it switches to DNS mask and all this fancy AD stuff is not available anymore. So that's also not the kind of thing I can live with. So what now, Sherlock? On second thought, what we really want is, actually, I only want those clients to depend on things that really need them. So I want only the Active Directory clients to depend on Samba. Of course, still with forwarding to DNS mask, because I also want internet DNS addresses to be resolved. Whereas all other clients should depend on DNS mask only. Because if Samba's DNS is down, so is the rest of Samba. It's not like the Samba DNS server is a process of its own, and it could crash, and the rest of Samba continues working. So if the DNS server is down, then Samba is down, and so the AD clients are affected anyway. However, my Linux client I may be running at home as well, or my smartphone keeps working. Sounds good? Makes sense, right? Okay. So what now, Sherlock? We could feed those clients different DNS servers, like, so they get different kind of views on the same DNS zone. Like I could feed the Active Directory clients, I would tell, use this IP address, this is my Samba server, and all other devices, I would just say, here's my DNS mask. But then to avoid, well, I said two different views. Actually, they are encapsulated views, because I want Samba to see everything DNS mask offers as well, of course. So then I would have to somehow replicate everything I configure in DNS mask to Samba. So it knows, for example, I don't know, the A entry for my my print server at home, my music box, whatever. Thing is, Samba's internal server can't do that, actually. You can't define custom records in Samba's DNS. Samba's DNS just serves what is in Active Directory. So the workstations. But I can't say, here, just create an ordinary A entry for this host. Right? You can?
Yeah.
By which means?
Samba tool.
Okay.
Or the Active Directory DNS management console.
Okay. But then again, so even if it could, it can. But DNS mask can't replicate automatically. I mean, that's not what DNS mask was written for. Okay, so hey, why don't we give Active Directory a separate DNS zone? And more precisely, how about a subzone? So here comes the enlightenment. The thing I found out, and I found out to be working for me, and the thing I'm proposing here is we let DNS mask stay the primary, and if you have multiple instances, secondary DNS for all clients, right? I'm not distinguishing clients, giving these IP addresses and these IP addresses. They all get the same IP address, which is DNS mask. And now, of course, I need to somehow satisfy the AD requirements I laid out earlier. So here comes a really, really neat thing. I just said we're going to use an extra subzone for the AD clients. And given this, I can configure DNS mask to forward requests for the subzone to Samba, which is really, really simple, as we will see. Notice that this is not DNS delegation in the strict sense, because DNS delegation usually requires NS records. And we're not setting up NS records, we're just configuring DNS mask a certain behavior. For this to work, DHCP has to hand out different host names to AD clients. So we're not supplying different DNS servers, but we are supplying different host names, namely ones in this subzone I just thought out and came up with. Also notice that this has nothing to do with the IP subnet, which is underlying. I can perfectly have two DNS zones, but still have the same IP subnetwork. However, this is, of course, only half the truth, because it only applies to forward DNS lookups from hostnames to IP addresses. So it's perfectly fine to have my Zamba server both in my basic zone and in my Zamba zone. Yeah. So this part of the deal, clients will just accept happily. Backward, however, there's also something called a reverse lookup. And the reverse lookup needs to be unique, of course. I cannot configure reverse lookup that in the one case goes to Zamba and the other case goes to my basic zone. So I need to decide to which hostname I'm reverse mapping the IP address of my Zamba server.
Technically, you can have both.
How?
Next question is, will you be satisfied with the
result? But how? You can only have
multiple
PTR records.
Yes.
Okay.
But it'll be round robin.
Yeah, okay. So it's Russian roulette. Okay. Yeah. But this is also actually not much of an issue. It's, you just have to configure Kerberos to turn off reverse DNS lookups. I'm not qualified to evaluate if that does any harm to the configuration, but I'm sure there's a lot of experts in this room who can say, oh, no problem, or is a problem. The other thing is, I think I actually hit this only when using SSSD and not with a puristic Zamba configuration. So how does this look like? DNS mask is a really almost trivial kind of software. And the configuration is not really magic. Basically, there's always like two settings I think every DNS mask configuration should have. The domain part, which replicates the same domain name as here. The thing is, everything I configure with local just tells DNS mask to not forward the request, but to serve it from local data, such as ATC hosts or whatever custom configuration directives I add to it. Whereas domain actually is, so this is used most of all for DNS, whereas this actually applies to DHCP, and you know DNS mask does both. So this tells, first of all, this allows DHCP hosts that magically supply DNS mask with their idea of their host name, to have full qualified host names. So if they send a host name that is not equal to this, it will be rejected, but if it is this, it will be accepted. The other thing is, in DHCP, we send a domain out in the reply to the request, which is then this. And if we would use expand hosts, this would be appended to the short form host names in etc hosts. We'll see in a minute why I do not use expand hosts. Then the real magic is, well, first of all, this. Everything DNS mask does not know, which is, of course, the majority of the requests, is forwarded to some upstream name server. So this would be your internet provider or whatever. And this is the real magic, actually. Because this single line, I just declare my subzone, and I say direct forward everything to the Zamba server. And as I said, this is not DNS delegation. We don't set up DNS records. We just configure DNS mask appropriately. And then you combine this with an etc hosts file that also is not really magic, except for one thing. Everything that should be inside this subzone, well, I've write the subzone down, and I've write it fully qualified, and this is why I put, this is why I disabled expand hosts. Actually, I forgot to remove this. So DNS mask will just happily do lookups. And if the Windows client does a reverse lookup on his IP address, he gets this. And does the SRV search for the domain controller based on this domain and not the short form? Of course, in this scenario, right now I'm statically assigning IPs to my hosts and don't have dynamic joins or whatever, but you could probably also come up with something like that. So that's basically the whole idea. And the thing is, I think we have actually time for a demo. does anyone want to see a demo, or is this total trivia? Okay, good. You wanted it, you'll get it. Okay, so I have four VMs here. I have a router and I have a Linux client, which is supposed to be totally independent from Samba. And then I have a Samba server and I have a Windows 10 client. And these four share one common Ethernet network, which is totally disconnected from outside, except for the router, which has a second leg, of course. So if we look at the router, this would in reality be an OpenWRT device, but right now it's just a VM. We have exactly the records I was talking about. We have a domain and local, which are basically my local zone. And then I have a server directive forwarding the AD requests for this subzone to Samba. So Samba goes by 130.1. Yeah. And then I have the etc host file I described. Always keep in mind, this is Soho. Yeah? This is supposed to work at home, and we don't really have time to come up with fancier solutions. So, trivial, I think. Then we have a really, really simple... Oh, nice. Let's see if that persists. Hello. Oh, okay. I guess there's Windows 10 reclaiming all memory. I don't know why it's red, but it's running. And it's really just a trivial Samba configuration here, so nothing magic. I didn't cheat anywhere on this space. This is just a Samba tool domain provision, basically. It doesn't even have shares. So let's have a look at the Linux client isn't anything fancy either. I'm just showing this to show that this will continue working if I shut down Samba, right? So shut up. Right now it is working. And then I have Windows 10, which I hope doesn't shut down because it's not activated. Yeah. I'm doing a domain lock on here, right? So this works. At least I pretend it works. It's, by the way, really nasty in the latest Windows 10 releases to find the place where you add a computer to a domain. The sentence that you're supposed to do it with PowerShell since Windows 2000 is not especially helpful in that context, because it's they keep changing their UI in the most incredible ways. So if I go to this Windows box, you did see that the lock-on worked. That is proof for me that my AD is actually working. It is, of course, it could do thousands more checks, but to show something more, I got the ISC tools where we can do the usual test lookups that are also described in the Samba wiki for to be done on the DC itself. So we could go ahead. Let's see. What is it? LDAP, I think. In the case of SRV, it's LDAP, right? And LDAP is UDP, TCP. And then I do this, I think. Not sure if... Oh, yeah. And you see, we get an answer. while we also get an answer for the, of course, for the basic zone. So because I get an answer, my explanation is that AD lock-on is actually working. So what happens if now Samba is failing? I just stop it. Ah, that's good. I thought I'm too short on content, but right. Which one is it? This one, no? Where did Windows here? This is Windows 10. So Samba is not running anymore. So what the host lookup should fail. Or the SRV record lookup. And as you can see, it will eventually return with a timeout. No service could be reached, exactly. Whereas, and the nice thing is, why isn't it in the history? Here it is. Keeps working, which makes perfectly sense because the DNS mask is still running. So right now I have a degraded functionality, of course, on the AD clients as well. But if I happen to have my internet browser already open and is not installed on some network share, I could even surf the internet. So this is exactly what I wanted. Samba crashed. But if I go ahead, I can even have basic DNS working here. And I can go to my Linux client, which is totally not part of the AD, and I can just keep surfing the web. So this is how with very, very simple measures, I achieve a bit more reliability that I think is actually quite nice. Right, any questions? Also, Mike, yeah.
So, thanks for the presentation. I always like sort of seeing people futz with the whole system in a smaller setup and not like on big servers, clusters, and whatever, because that tends to be what people keep talking about here at this conference.
Yeah.
So it's sort of nice to see somebody else also pick up the getting Samba to run on smaller boxes thing. Is there anything like from the Samba side of things, apart from, I mean, trying to actually get up and running on a machine that only has like a couple of hundred megs of RAM, where we can make that easier for the small or home office use case?
If you would have asked me, say, 1 or 2 years ago, I would probably have a lot of answers. Right now, I was actually very, very pleasantly surprised to not find, except for one thing, Samba tool to be working, the domain provisioning thing is just trivial by now. It's even, the wiki is up to date. And it's accurate. It's working. And we didn't have that state like 2 years ago, I think, or 3 years ago. I think the only thing I stumbled upon was because the SUSE RPM package by default installs an smb.conf with %l inside and those placeholders that actually made Samba tool fail with an obscure Python exception. So I had to remove the smb.conf, but that's rather trivial. I mean, the error messages are sometimes not as helpful, but your question referred to if I wanted to run the Samba DNS server on an embedded device, I guess. It would actually be lovely, I think, because there is a recommendation in the Samba wiki, which I'm actually going to have to ask some guys why this recommendation exists. There's a recommendation to not run a file server on the same machine as the DC. And if I could run, if I could move the DC functionality onto my router, that would be perfect. Of course, also because my DC would be more fault tolerant, more reliable. And I could run a full-fledged file server. Yeah. So I hope this was maybe not, at least not boring to you. Even if it's not enterprise scale. Okay, thank you very much.